Now we are recording.
Beautiful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our Poetry of the Sufi Mystics. I believe we're in class number 7 today, tonight. This is January the 19th. So if I'm wrong on that, at least you have the date. The date is correct. January the 19th of 2017. We are so excited to have Amani with us again this evening. Welcome, Amani.
Thank you, Mastura. I'm so happy to be with you, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I'm happy that you're here, too. Casey sent out a poem from Amani, a handout today. So if you have that, please print it out and have it with you. Otherwise, Casey, can you pop that link in the chat? Ah, she's on it. Okay, so Casey just put the link into the chat box. You can click on that to get your copy of the poem for tonight. I have a couple of announcements real quick before we get started, if I may. We've got, this class is just full of surprises. We've got another special guest that's going to be joining us on February the 16th, on Thursday, February 16th. He is one of the co-authors of this book, Physicians of the Heart. His name is Imam Bilal. Several of our beloveds in the California area have had the opportunity to study with him. And he's actually, though, he's not going to make the evening class. What he's going to do is at 10:30 Pacific time, which is 1:30 on East Coast time in the U.S., 10:30 a.m. Pacific time, he's going to pre-record a class. So we'll have the opportunity to join him live if you can make it live with him then. If you cannot, we'll replay the class at the regular time in that evening. So it's we'll send out an announcement email with all of this as well. And then, let's see, that's February the 16th. And then, is that right? Is that right? Oh, wait. Hold on, I might be wrong about that. Because I might be getting, okay. Well, just know that he's going to be doing a special class. And then so is Mahmoud Sidi's son, Mahmoud Jamal, or Rafai, is joining us from Jerusalem. And it's middle of the night there right now. So his class is going to be, okay. Yeah, I guess Imam Bilal is on the 16th and Mahmoud is on the 9th, February the 9th. And his is going to be at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. And his is going to be the same way, pre-recorded in the earlier part of the day and then replayed in the evening. And I'll be there, inshallah, God willing, with you playing the replay and, you know, facilitating if you have any questions or discussions or anything that you would like to bring up at that time. So that's 2 days. We'll be sending out an email with the details. The 9th, February the 9th, Mahmoud at 12 noon Eastern, and then replayed that evening. And if you can join us live, great. And then on the 16th, it would be 1:30 p.m. Eastern, that we'll be having Imam Bilal. So two special things in addition to the special appearance with Amani tonight. And one more thing real quick, if you didn't see it when you were coming on, I was showing off this little book. Our USHS faculty, which includes Amani, who is with us tonight, is putting together a book, a compilation of stories and teachings, personal journeys, stories from our personal journeys with teachings that we've received from CD along the way, and putting them in this book. This is a design of the cover, which we finalized today, and it's gone to the designer. This book we should have in hand on April the 1st, around April the 1st. Not an April Fool's joke, though. It's real. So this A Drop in the Ocean of Love, Ancient Wisdom for Living a Divinely Guided Life. You see it first here. This is the only place where it exists in virtual reality right here. But inshallah, we'll have the real thing coming out very soon, and we're very excited. So thank you for allowing me to share those announcements, and I will now introduce our beloved Amani again. Thank you, Amani, for being here today. I'll let you go ahead and get started.
Thank you again, Mastura, and let us all start with reciting Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. صدق الله العظيم. Allah, we glorify you as you ought to be glorified, and we praise you as you ought to be praised. And we thank you for all of your countless blessings, for the blessing we are aware of and for the blessing we are heedless of. We ask you to forgive us our mistakes and shortcomings and to guide us to the straight path. Please guide the tongues by which we speak, the hearts by which we feel, the intellects by which we understand, and guide all of our faculties, and beautify our qualities, beautify our words, beautify our intentions, beautify our attitude, beautify our actions and our thoughts. And we ask you to heal us from physical diseases, from emotional and psychological diseases, and from the intellectual and spiritual diseases, and protect us and show us the truth as truth, and give us the courage and the strength to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood, and give us the courage and the strength to abandon it, and help us to help one another, care for one another, understand one another, love and forgive one another, and make peace with one another. Help us to be peacemaker and reconciliate and carry your message, the message of peace and love and mercy and justice and the freedom of all, the message of unity, the message of all the prophets. Help us to follow their footsteps and send your peace and blessing upon all the prophets and messengers, and upon Prophet Muhammad and his family and his followers, and be pleased with all of our guides, and especially with our guide Sidi Muhammad al-Jamal. آمين آمين. سبحانك ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
So, thank you, Amani. Can I say one thing real quick? Because that was such a beautiful prayer, and it reminded me of one more thing.
Sure.
I'm so sorry.
No, no, it's all right.
Tomorrow. Our beloved Abdul Qadir Davies, who is the co-founder of the Masters of Peacemaking program at the university. He is an international mediator and peacemaker. And at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, which is 10 a.m. Pacific Time, he is offering a prayer call. And we can put the link. Yeah, okay, Casey just put the link to that in the chat also. So what you were saying, Amani, was reminding me of that call for peace tomorrow. So inshallah, he'll be leading us on a prayer call and remembrance meditation at 1 o'clock tomorrow, and saying a few words about how we can move forward in with peace and wisdom in our hearts. And you know, we don't have to say what tomorrow is. It is an inauguration day, and a lot of uncertainty in the air. Alhamdulillah, we'll be praying for safety and for all of those who are going to the Million Women's March and all of the other marches that are happening this weekend in D.C. and around the country. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Yes, hearts and spirits with them and with everyone. And we ask Allah to guide today's leaders and guide their hearts to the right thing. Ameen. Ameen. So today I choose a poem from Ibn al-Farid. He is known as the master of the lovers, or sultan of the lovers, because of his beautiful poetry in love of Allah. And I have to mention that CG used to bring some of his poems, if you all remember, for those who would attend CG's teaching, he will bring some music and the poetry sometimes from the Shazili, but some of the poems was also from Ibn al-Farid. And I asked him once about who's his favorite Sufi poet, and he said Ibn al-Farid. So I know some people like to know about his biography, but I am bad in memorizing biography. So, but I encourage you to go on the internet and read a little bit more about him. But we'll start with the poem. So if you notice, the translation is a little difficult. It is not my translation. But I think the translator tried to keep the Arabic style, which used the verbs in a different way than English. So, and he also used a little bit old English too. So both combination made the poem maybe hard to understand. Besides, there was no commas in the right places. So, but I'll try as much as I understand it to read it and give you a sense of what it says. So it says, before it, no before is. After it, no after is. Absolute is its privilege. So you know that two of Allah's beautiful names is Al-Awwal, the first, and Al-Akhir, the last. And scholars had always said Allah is the first without beginning, the last without end. And the third of his names is Al-Baqi. He is the one who perpetually had always been existing. So, and I think some people find it hard to understand that concept of God, but to bring it a little bit to our understanding in our own spirits, as we live in this world, to relate to it, I always reflect on the qualities within us and in the world, of course, to get to have a glimpse of its meaning. So for example, if you think anything that manifests from you, let us say an act of kindness, like you're helping someone, an act of love, like you're actually hugging someone, or you're carrying something very heavy and you're showing strength, or you are in joy or ecstasy, so you make an expression of laughter or a smile, or sorrow, you show tears. So these forms stems from something that before it, what I mean is the materialization, the forms of something stems from something else. Usually it is non-material. Whether it is kindness or mercy or love or strength or wisdom or patience, you just exhibit it in a certain particular form, but it is coming from there. It is coming, the form of it, the expression of it is material, but it is coming from something non-material inside you, that you feel love, so you feel prompt to express that love in a word, in a poem, in a hug, in a kiss, whatever form it takes. It takes countless forms if you reflect in the whole universe and all the speeches, and especially the human being is, as I always say, the vessel of infinity, which means you can express these beautiful qualities in many countless ways. At every moment, these qualities are coming. So everything stems from something non-material. And it is one source, whether it is mercy or love or patience, then it materializes in the world in different ways. And you can see these forms coming and going. All the physical expressions are coming and going, but love has always been there. Mercy has always been there. And if you even go then back to the beginning of the universe, you can see that all of it stemmed also from something non-material, from these qualities. This is what the Sufi says. So it's an endless, absolute, beautiful qualities that is outpouring of a conscious being that is Allah, the holistic consciousness or the holistic being from which all the material world comes. Because wherever you look at living speeches, you can see also these qualities in actions, whether it's through birds or fish or animals. But even when you contemplate the what we call inanimate entities, you can still actually, we call it that because we don't understand it. But Ibn Arabi said everything is alive. So when you contemplate the rest of other things in the universe, whether it's a mountain or a galaxy or any what we call solid matter or something like that, if you deeply, deeply see, you can see it, it is alive. It has its level of consciousness, its level of perception. That's why Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said once, we love this mountain and the mountain loves us. So he saw love through the mountain, because the mountain is just an expression. The outer form of it, the physical form, is an expression of love, because mountains give us minerals, it protects us from the wind, it has its function, and it's a function of love. So if you look at anything in the world, it is made of something that is in motion, the electrons. And those electrons also, as quantum physics tells us, comes from something non-material, from these energy, these qualities, and these qualities manifest in these particular expressions. So anything, even if you contemplate an atom or an electron, subparticle, you can still see the divine qualities through it. You can see the strength. There is an atomic power. You can see the most powerful then. You can also see the patience, every electron keep or orbiting in its same orbit, just as galaxy for billions of light years has been doing the same thing. That is an act of patience, you can see. So creativity, beauty, you can see all the 99 qualities. That's why they say, if you split anything open and look deeply, to the qualities, you will see the 99 qualities working in perfect harmony as one essence. So before it, no before is. So which means there is only Allah. There is, he's the first without beginning. And he's also the last without ending, in a sense that, to bring it closer to your mind, whatever act you do in a material physical expression, then there is a feedback you get. There is something after it. There is consequences of what you do. These consequences are external and internal. And both are governed by the 99 qualities as well. So if you do something beautiful or kind, then there is a shakur right away. A shakur is the grateful, the thankful. Allah is the thankful. So he immediately give you satisfaction within, and we all experience that. And outwardly, he will also bring that expression of thankfulness for you. Sometimes you say, oh, but I don't, sometimes I do help people, I don't get these thanks back. You will get it in subtle ways, maybe not from the same obvious person that you are giving him care or favor, but you will get it back anyway, first and immediately internally and externally too. When you are in a need, people will also do you a favor when you unexpectedly, just as you've done to people the same thing. So Allah give you the after consequences, that it inward and outward, and he is the last without end, because again, all of these are kind of physical expressions that comes and goes, but everything comes from the qualities, goes back to the qualities. So there is only Allah. And that also explains the name Al-Baqi, the one who perpetually existing, because in truth there is only that spirit, that being that has all of these qualities that exists, and we are all just expressions of it and taking from it and returning to it. So everything comes from it and returns from it in a cycle that forever existing. So the principle of time is also alluded to here, that time is just a perception that we have. It is not a true entity, because eternity is what it is. So there is always the eternal now, the moment. It is the eternal now perpetually existing, but our perception of time is only a mind creation, because we relate it to morning and evening, because the way that there is light and darkness, or the way our body changes. So we say there is past and the future, the way we have memories of things, that makes us feel, oh, there is time. But time is a perception of the mind, and it's a true perception in a way that we relate it to something, in a way that is related. But in an absolute reality, there is only eternity. And so Allah perpetually existing, and he made our spirit to also perpetually exist in that way, even though the form changes from, you know, as we are in the dense form now, the physical body, and that goes through changes, and eventually we move to a subtle body that is also a form in which our spirits exist from Allah. So we are also eternally existing. So absolute is its privilege in a way that it's only absoluteness, the absoluteness of the qualities. The forms are changeable, but the absolute and the constant are the inexhaustible treasure of these qualities. To be before all afters, before time's span. So here that he also alludes to all these afters that we relate to, because like we say, after today comes tomorrow, or after this event came this event. So you know, all of these afters, there is a time span also that is relatable to what we perceive. It is from Allah to Allah, but it's also immediate. We are just not perceiving it correctly. So the concept of eternity too, or time, can sometimes, because it is related to our mind, can sometimes seem so slow and long, and sometimes move quickly. When we are in pain or sadness or depression or boredom, time seems so slow. It is the same thing, but that's our perception of it. Like the day doesn't change, the sun comes in the same time and all of that. But our perception of it, that it is so slow. And that same time when we are in joy and we don't want time to pass, or that moment to pass, that joy to pass, we feel like it is so swift, it is so quick. So that concept of time is how we relate to it, is how we perceive it. But Allah is eternal. It pressing was, so see how the translation is, he puts the verb after, which it was bracing. And our first father age came afterwards, parentless, orphaned it. Here he related to how, as Ibn Arabi says, the beautiful qualities are like a flood, because they don't cease to exist. Allah is overpowering his beautiful qualities to express himself and to get to know, to be known through the mirror he creates, to be known to that mirror. Then these qualities are pressing in a way that they overflow. They overflow and press to be expressed and materialized. And you can look at the father's age came afterwards in allusion to our own spirits. Of course, our father Adam, we can say he's parentless, but here he is actually talking about our own spirits. Like our own parent came afterwards, like the physical came afterwards, but our spirits are from Allah before this body came along. So in a way, we are orphaned. We are all orphaned. We are all in need of the true source, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So and we kind of, as Shamsa was, we were discussing that a while ago, and she alluded to that we all, when we mature, we do feel that way, that we cannot rely on anymore on parents. Even if we take our sheikh as our father, sooner or later we have to also pass, as the Sufi teaching says, pass to Allah. So we have to know and realize that our full reliance is on Allah. And because we came from him and we return to him at every moment, actually. So they tell me, you had drunk in equity, not so I have, but drunk what not to drink would be for me iniquitous indeed. Here he probably alluding to the concept of sin and doing mistakes. And he, the way I look at it is that people say, don't do mistakes, but it is almost like inevitable that we will do mistakes. Like it is part of our journey that we would do mistakes. So, but even with our mistakes, we can still drink from Allah's love. We can still drink from His forgiveness. We can still drink and look at our mistakes as a way to taste His forgiveness, as a way to return back to Him, as a way to awaken us and our consciousness to grow in knowledge of our true reality and of Allah. So these mistakes, when we realize them and when we return to Allah, we kind of taste that sweetness, that wine of being forgiving, of being humbled before Allah, of being loved by Allah and accepted by Allah. So that is why He speaks about that. Like He says, if we don't drink from that type, that cup of wine that is going through mistakes, we will not know Allah fully. We would lack some of knowledge of Allah, beautiful qualities such as the pardoner, the forgiver, the all-forgiving, the often forgiving, al-ghafoor, al-ghaffar, al-ghafir, al-afu. So we would not know these qualities until we actually fall in our ignorance and do mistakes, or on our own egoistic, selfish desires, and do these mistakes. And then we eventually realize that they did not get us the joy or the fulfillment that we were actually seeking, but they got us the opposite of it. So eventually it's a gateway to turn to Allah and to truly know what is worthy, what is everlasting, and what we truly need, not what we made to think we need by the worldly limited impressions and material gains. So all of that, as Sabiha pointed, is said in hadith, captured in that hadith, in which he says every son of Adam is a sinner, but the best of sinners are those who return to Allah in repentance. And it reminds me also with a saying that CG often repeated in his teaching, which is a hadith Qudsi, in which Allah says, if the children of Adam, if you don't do mistakes and repent, I would have created other people who would repent and who would do mistakes and repent, so that Allah can bestow His forgiveness. So here he says, good for the monastery folk, that often they drunken were with it, yet drank it not, though fain would drink. But ecstasy from it was mine before I existed, and shall be mine beyond my bones decaying. So the monastery folk, not literally the people who abandon the world and go live in a mountain, on top of a mountain or something, because in Sufism we're supposed to actually participate in life. Maybe very few are called to do that for some time or for their lives to serve in a certain way, but we are called to actually involve in life and make a difference in life. And that is our learning, our university, to participate fully in life. So the monastery here is an inner one in which you retreat and be secluded in retreat with Allah, to be conscious of Allah, to feel He's with you, and to retreat to that union or that heart place, which is the house of Allah, to retreat to that monastery, that temple within you, at all times, as much as you could, to find that guidance and that which you need to find, then outwardly you become the representative of that. So when you are within that mosque inside, which is the heart, the house of God, then you become drunk because you start to witness the beauty of the qualities, because the 99 names are the beautiful qualities. You start to see through the veils of the universe, become transparent or get lifted, and you start to witness everything through witness the qualities and witness that beauty and majesty in everything and every experience. And that also you become intimate with Allah in a way that you start to hear him talking to you through inspirations that comes to you inside or through the outer science as well, and that he brings your way and showing his love in a particular way, especially for you. And that makes you drunk, make you experience that ecstasy and that exhilaration and fulfillment as you go through life. So, and that is our birthright, as he says. As he says, but ecstasy from it was mine before I existed and shall be mine beyond my bones decaying. We just sometimes becomes forgetful of it or heedless of it, unconscious of it. But it is our birthright. It has always been there. Allah has always been taking care of us. He has always been manifesting himself to us. But we sometimes get perception of that dense veils that we cannot feel his love, we cannot feel his presence or his mercy or his forgiveness. But it is has always been there, as I explained in the beginning of the poem. Everything comes from the beautiful qualities, returns to the beautiful qualities, and remain perpetually in that. So it is just the witnessing of that, that to become conscious of that, that what makes you feel that ecstasy and joy. So drink it pure, but if you need must have it mixed, it were sin to shun mouth water from the loved one's lips. So here, it's a bit again, the translation is a little difficult, but what I think he means is that there's two ways to look at that. Like, if you focus only on the veils are the forms, are the events. The veils can make you, if you look at them only separated from Allah and not guided by that light shed on them to make you understand them and to make you know your role in them, then you kind of not drinking the pure wine, and so it becomes difficult. And but when we look at everything through that divine light, then we can see clearly what is happening, and we can see through the forms and through the events. And not only that, we become the representative of the divine. We can become the servant of Allah, and we make the difference. And not only that, we even though if we don't see the immediate results we would love to see, we know it's eventually it's going to happen. We know that Allah is taking care and awakening everyone to be conscious of the reality of his loving and presence. So when we mix it, it becomes impure. But we can mix it in a pure way again, because in Islam or Sufism, we're not supposed to be in isolation from the world and not do anything and live just in seclusion or in a monastery or something, becomes like an ascetic. We're supposed to participate in life, but we're not also supposed to just indulge. We're supposed to bring these two worlds together. So we are in an inner retreat, but we are fully participating in the world. And that is a pure way to mix things together in a way that, again, when you see by the divine light, you know what you're supposed to do, what is happening, you understand it, you know where everyone is coming from, and you know your role in it, and you do it, resting assured that Allah will eventually bring the right. The truth would prevail, justice prevails, love and unity and peace, all of that prevails. So when you are mixing it in a pure way, that is the way. So it's a bit of difficult poem, but I hope I had explained it a bit according to my understanding, and I would be happy to see your reflection and hear what you think. And I see Mastura also said, like CG used to say, inner ecstasy, outer superiority. Yes, that's a beautiful reminder. So this is how it's supposed to be. When you are inwardly very connected with Allah, you have that peace, you have that knowledge, you have that wisdom, you feel loved, you feel fulfilled, and you represent and serve Allah, and rest assured that the result eventually would happen. So you know Allah plan, and you know that his beautiful qualities prevails, and you just happily just serve and represent him in a very natural way, because it's overflowing through you, and that's the inner ecstasy. But outwardly, you don't have to claim. So the people who outwardly kind of, how can I put it, like claim to be drunk or no, is different than the people who are really the servants. So this is when the ego get out of the way. Yes, Mastura, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say, what the word you were searching for is like people who are boastful, or they're doing the kind actions in order to be seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that trap we can fall into sometimes.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So, Manny, I know last week it was really helpful after you explained the poem when you went back and read it just start to finish without the explanation, so that we could just get a feel for the transmission of it. Would you be willing to do that again?
For this one?
Yes.
Yes, sure.
Unless you want to read it to us in its original language. I don't know if you have that there.
No, it's okay. So it says, before it, no before is. After it, no after is. Absolute, it's privilege. To be before all afters, before time's span. It pressing was, or it was pressing, and our first father's age came afterwards, parentless, orphaned it. They tell me you had drunk iniquity. Not so I have, but drunk what not to drink would be for me iniquish indeed. Good for the monastery folk that oft they drunken were with it, yet drank it not, though fain would drink. But ecstasy from it was mine before I existed, and shall be mine beyond my bones decaying. Drink it pure. But if you need, must have it mixed. Were it sin to shun mouth water from the loved one's lips? Here there is one allusion that I found it so beautiful as I read it again. Good for the monastery folk that often they drunken were with it, yet drank it not, which is an allusion to the ego. They are very drunk in their union with Allah, but they don't claim to be God. They don't want to be seen, as we said, or are boastful about it, but they serve in humbleness, though fain would drink. So that's so beautiful line. And also the last line, but if you need, must have it mixed, were sin to shun mouth water from the loved one's lips. This last line, that mouth water from loved one's lips, from Allah's lips, is the word of forgiveness again, the word of love and forgiveness. So he says, if I claim that I don't do mistakes and I don't need, which many religious people actually fall into that trap, the self-righteous attitude that I arrived, or I'm a religious person, or I do these rituals, so I'm perfect, which shuts the door to have that kiss of forgiveness from the beloved Allah. But if you truly feel you're not perfect, there is always the need for the beloved, and that need opens the door for that kiss of forgiveness, for that kiss of love to come your way. But if you kind of say, I don't need it, how are you gonna taste that sweetness if you claim you are not in need because you're religious, or you're doing so right, and or you're perfect? So it is always in a way our path is a middle path. You can't despair from forgiveness and see yourself as a horrible person all the time, and you can't also see yourself as perfect. So in a way you see yourself in an objective way, that you have beauty and you have areas that need to be evolved and become more beautiful. Like you have work to do, inner work to do. So you're always willing to admit error, to acknowledge imperfection, to be humbled before Allah's eyes, because He sees you, He sees through you completely. So that is a middle path. As I always say, it's a path between the devil and the angel. The devil is in despair, so he lashes out or do whatever because he's in despair. I'm not going to be forgiving, so I can do whatever, and I'm angry. And on the other hand, the angels are perfect, so they don't know Allah fully because they cannot do mistakes, they cannot experience forgiveness. So that is the middle pass. We are in that threshold, that combination that is makes us actually worthy more and honored more in Allah's eyes, because we accepted to go through this, you know, we accepted to carry that burden, that trust of having the free will and experiencing and doing error and returning to Allah. So in a way, we accepted that, and that made us special in Allah's eyes and made us honored, because we come to Him by a choice and sometimes through hard ways. So that is precious to Him, and you can say, like, but I didn't choose that, or I didn't want to choose that, or something like that. But eventually you feel it worth it. The journey, as I said last time, the journey make it worthy, because the fruit is so worthy. You know, you to plant a tree and get a very tasty fruit, you need to do work, you need to dig, you need to water, you need to cultivate. But eventually, as you eat this fruit, you say, oh, it was worth it. So similarly, as we go through this inner transformation and inner growth and come to know what is worthy in life and what is everlasting, then we experience that sweetness to its depths more than when we don't go through these experiences. So, any comments, reflections, questions? We still have some time.
So, if you're on the computer, if you hover your mouse over the screen, the bottom toolbar thing will pop up. Click on participants, and then click on the bottom right of that says raise hand in blue. Just click there and that will raise your hand. If you're on the phone, you can press *9 and that will raise your hand. So on the phone, it's *9. If you're on the computer, click on the participant box and then click on raise hand in the bottom right. Your comments, your questions, however your heart might want to speak today. I always hate to ask my questions first because I want to leave space for people.
If nobody else has, and you're opening the way for.
Okay, here's one.
Looks
I'll
like
go ahead.
Nadine, actually, if you want to.
Okay, you're there. Great, yes, absolutely.
Mateen, I am unmuting you now. You can go ahead.
Hi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
I'm actually having a real hard time just reading the poem and just kind of, because it seems like it's old English, right?
Yeah.
So the first stanza, I want to read it, and then if you can just kind of translate it for me in regular English.
Let me translate it in regular English.
Yeah.
I should have done that, actually.
Even just for the first stanza.
There is no before Allah, and there is no after Him. So there is no before or after. There is only the eternal now, and has always been. He's absolute in His beauty. To be before everything appear in time as we perceive it, the quality was overflowing. They are pressing because they are overflowing of their beauty is overflowing. Allah's giving is overflowing. So before time, even that time span that we perceive it comes, or receive it, there is something pressing to bring it into being. this something that is pressing is the overflowing divine qualities. Everything comes from it. So even before we have our fathers and parents, and like we come in time, our spirit had existed within Allah in eternity. So, and so we are in truth parentless because we are spirits. Our body comes from ancestor and so forth, but our spirit is purely from Allah directly. So in a sense, we are parentless. You can also say we are like orphans in a way that we are, every expression of every human being is so unique, like an orphan.
Okay.
So everyone is like an orphan because each one of us is a universe in his own way. And every expression of you is uniquely in the universe.
Okay.
Even your body is uniquely itself, you know. So everything has a unique, like an orphan in a way. Every expression is unique. Like an orphan because it's parentless. It comes from the spiritual realm. It doesn't come from, the body. It comes from the spirit. It comes from the divine qualities.
So, just before you go on, like if I were to read air, time, span, pressing was. If I read it before time, span, it was
yes. Pressing.
It was pressing.
Exactly.
Okay. And then, and our father's age came afterwards.
Yes.
That makes sense. And then it goes parentless, orphanate. I feel like there's a verb in there. Parentless, orphanate.
Yes. Well, because the way he reverses things to try to keep the Arabic, which I think is not a wise way to translate.
Is it better to say orphanate and leave it parentless?
Exactly, you can say it that way.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they tell me you had drunk sin or you have sinned. Not so, I have. But he's saying every one of us is distant to make this error. I know you're trying to correct the English, so I'm trying. They tell me you had drunk sinning, not so, I have. But drunk what not to drink, like I had to do some mistakes, but drunk not to drink would be for me sin itself. It would be sin indeed.
Okay.
To be perfect and not to drink from that cup, you know, it would be a sin to claim that you are perfect. Good for the monastery folk that often they drunk, they are drunken with being with Allah. So they are drunk with it.
Okay.
Yet drank it not, but they don't drink it, so they don't claim to be God. Though fain would they drink, but ecstasy from it was mine before I existed and shall be mine beyond my bones decay. That's an easy line.
Yeah.
Drink it pure, but if you need to mix it, it will be sin to shun the mouth water from the loved one's lips. And I try to explain, of course it's mystical, and that's my perception of it, the way that you can drink it pure, which means looking at the world, as I explained, through the divine eye and seeing its beauty and its majesty and what your role in it should be, rather than being fully indulgent or being an ascetic. So, and even though you might do mistakes, it's your cup, and you have to experience that to get that case of forgiveness from Allah.
Okay, thank you. That's
we say the.
Because
I'm a, sorry. Oh, that's just yeah. That's my question.
All right. I was just going to comment on the how exquisite it is when we do taste that forgiveness and how much that opens the heart when we receive that forgiveness in our hearts and we feel that love pour in and how that draws us near and what a gift that is. So I really get that when what you're saying about, well, when we pretend we don't make mistakes, we don't have that opportunity for repentance and remorse and for the tawbah, you know, and then for receiving the forgiveness. That's such a beautiful cycle for the heart to really, you know, to feel the pain and then to open and to expand and receive the love. It's just such a beautiful way to be drawn to Allah.
Because that vulnerability, that need,
yes,
melts the heart to receive.
Yes.
And we can actually translate it also in our own relationship with one another. And we all had tested it in our life, since we were children.
Oh, when you go
and say sorry to your parent or something, and then they show you the love. Of course, maybe some of us went through painful things because the parents themselves need that learning. But in a way or another, we all experience that sweetness when we apologize to someone we care about and realize that we hurt them, or when someone apologizes to us and in a sincere way, we feel they didn't mean to hurt us or they are sorry they had hurt us. And we come to that sweetness of reconciliation and union again. There is sweetness in that we wouldn't have been able to experience if that did not take place. So in a way, life awakens us to that depth of beauty. That tasting, we call it in Sufism, zawq, the taste of that sweetness. And if we are aware of it, then that there is sweetness, then we should be able to do it often or easier, because sometimes the ego comes in the middle and prevent that from happening easy, and thinking that we are kind of that self-defense mechanism, we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be weak or appear in need. But in that poverty that the Sufis call faqr, the poverty, that is the melting of the heart and the opening to experience that sweetness. Mm. And we experience it in our own relation with one another because we are spirits from Allah. But then we can experience it in our hearts for our relationship with ourselves, between us and Allah. So in a way, again, we can seek that tawbah, that repentance from the wrongdoing. We wronged ourselves before we even wronged others. Because when we wrong others, we wrong ourselves.
Yeah. So if anyone else has a question, it's raise your hand in the participant box or a *9 if you're on the phone. What I was going to ask about is about the qualities of forgiveness with the Tawab and the Ghafur, Afu. I'm probably missing one in there too. There's another one. Can you, I mean, it seems to be a progression, the qualities of forgiveness. Can you speak about those?
Yeah, well, there is that forgiveness. I'll bring it in human terms, which is scholars talked about it. Like, there is forgiveness for immediate and simple mistakes. Then there is forgiveness for mistakes we done continuously for some time. Then there is forgiveness for, serious mistakes we done. So there's type of mistakes we do. Some are very simple, some are very, can be strong, and some can be continuous. And so Allah is Al-Ghafoor, Al-Ghafir, Al-Ghaffar in that sense. And there is also the pardoner, that he erase the mistakes that you... Sometimes you go and you meet someone you know from childhood, for example, and you say, oh, I remember I did that to you, I'm really sorry. And you say, really? I don't even remember. That happened to you, right? It happened to all of us sometimes. That is from the aspect of Allah Al-Afu, that he erases it as if it didn't exist. So these are aspects. At-Tawwab is the one who turns towards you. So then you turn towards him in Tawbah. If he did not turn it towards you, you wouldn't even feel the need to do the Tawbah. And in a way that you can understand that he give you, as I said, an immediate inner feedback. If we don't cover it up, if we don't deny it and we acknowledge that, then we realize this is a Tawwab turning to us by making us feel bad about the mistakes we do. So he's turning to us towards, before we turn to him, by giving us this hint, which is not to... I think that my clock is actually not doing right here, but back to the point, he's not punishing us. We are actually spirits from him. So naturally, we cannot be satisfied when we go against our own innate nature as spirits from him. So when we go, for example, becoming lustful, we cannot be satisfied fully. We might have a fleeting pleasure out of his mercy, actually. He's giving us our freedom to try whatever we like. He gives us this fleeting pleasure, but eventually we realize that it's not fully satisfying and fulfilling. So in a way, he is at the web. He's often returning. He is always turning towards us. We are the one who turns away. So without him being turning to us, we wouldn't actually realize any mistakes we do. So he's always the one turning towards us, and it is we who kind of unconsciously become heedless or unconscious of the way. And life is designed to awaken us to that reality. And he's always coaxing us to know, to get to realize our innate nature, and to act upon it. And in that there is fulfillment, that there is this eternal exhilaration that we're seeking.
Alhamdulillah, thank you.
I also wanted to hint that last time we talked about the Al-Hur Al-Ain, or the mates with lustrous, beautiful eyes. We talked about that, mentioned in the Quran. Here in these poems is the concept of wine, which is mentioned also in the Quran, the spiritual wine, which is called not to cause ecstasy, but to not to render you unconscious. It actually does the reverse. It makes you conscious, and it doesn't give you any... hang out afterwards, or what you call it,
like hangover.
Hangover. Yeah. It doesn't give you this. This is a spiritual wine that that is awakening. Is that again sweetness that stays with you and awaken you? Again, when you forgive someone or someone forgive you, and there is this sweetness that remains for you, with you forever, and awakens you to the beauty of forgiveness and knowledge of that sweetness. So nobody can take that away from you, and it awakens you and it makes you have that joy and that fulfillment. So that is the type of wine that Allah mentions. And so it does take like the material form of, again, forgiving someone, like in a materialistic way. So it usually has a form to be expressed, but it's an inner wine. And here I see Sabiha wrote, we have said that everything in the material form emanates from its archetype in the unseen, coming every moment from Allah and returning to Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong, and to Him we return. Would you say the corresponding hadith Qudsi would be, I was a hidden treasure and wanted to be known, so I created the creation? Yes. Yes, the creation is created for that treasure to be known. The treasure of the divine beautiful qualities that is existing within all of us, within the universe. Everything comes from it and returns to it, as explained. So we belong to these divine qualities, we belong to Allah, and we return to Him actually at every moment, not just later, it is here and now, and that is the Sufi realization.
It's like we're cosmic breath with consciousness, or unconsciousness, as the case may be, I suppose, where we forget our consciousness and trade that in for will.
Yes, I think as the dense realm, the material realm, kind of distract us, the diversity of the forms, the pleasures that we get from the experience of the forms and the physical experience, or the pain also, sometimes this distracts us and we cannot fully comprehend, because we are focusing on it as separate from the reality that is the quality that is Allah. So we can not be satisfied that way.
You know what's occurring to me? What do you feel if we did just a little, a short dicker with perhaps a quality that could help us to get a taste, an experience of what this is referring to in the, especially with the forgiveness?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. We can do... we can do one of Allah's Ghafoor, and what is coming to me is also Ar-Rashid, the grantor of spiritual maturity and the growth. That to have like the pure rationality, the divine rationality. So we'll call upon those two names. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا غفور يا غفور يا غفور يا غفور يا غفور يا غفور غفور يا 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 الله يا غفور 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 يا شكور الله is the thankful يا شكور 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 يا الله يا رشيد 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 Allah, we ask you to forgive us, to grant us your pardon, for you are the pardoner who loves to pardon. So please pardon us and rectify our affairs and our mistakes. Help us to see our mistakes and to rectify them. Give us the strength to learn from our mistakes and never to go back and commit the same mistakes again. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive all of our mistakes and to conceal our faults and to accept our weakness, for we are weak and you are all powerful. We are ignorant and you are all knowing. So please, we know you are the all forgiving, all merciful. So please help us to be conscious of your loving mercy and forgiveness. Do not treat us by the way we deserve, but treat us in accordance to your beautiful qualities, and help us to be conscious of you. Make us, the day we meet you, the best days and the best moment in our lives. Here and now, help us to be conscious of you. And we ask you to help us grow and transform with your gentleness, to become your representatives and your servants in this world, and to carry your message and to serve your creation in a way that is pleasing to you. Amen, amen. Subhanaka rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Imani.
Alhamdulillah.
Nourishing for the heart. And I'm not sure if there are people on the call or maybe watching the recording who have not done the practice of a dhikr before. Dhikr means remembrance of Allah. Is it done with the name of Allah or with the name of the qualities of Allah, which is what Imani did with us this evening? And it also can be done with some of the phrases, like astaghfirullah aladim is the one that is asking for forgiveness. And there are many others that we use in the dhikr, the practice of remembrance. And this practice is used, the Sufism actually is a practice of purification of the heart. And the recitation of these names are used to help to wash our hearts and to purify, to cleanse our hearts, and to remind us of the, as Manny spoke to many times this evening, the innate nature of our existence, of our essence, of who we are. And we each contain all of the qualities. We call them the 99 names, the 99 qualities, attributes of Allah. And these are all contained within the heart of the human being, of every human being, but we forget them. So this practice helps to wash away the things that hover over these qualities in our hearts that we take on from the dense material world, and to remind us of the truth of our essence. And so this practice, when we really say these names and let this, for using the sacred names, the sacred language, actually the sound carries the vibration of the things that it calls. So we call the vibration and we allow it to wash our bodies and wash our hearts and wash our minds, to help to purify us and return us to our innate nature of what Allah created in us when He breathed our spirits and all of the His qualities into, or the knowing of His qualities into our hearts, and brought us into these physical forms, into this world. So, alhamdulillah, thank you for that recitation, for that dhikr, Imani. Very beautiful, very powerful.
Alhamdulillah, thank you, everyone.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, that gives you a taste of what He is speaking of in this poem. When, especially in those last two lines, when He says, you know, not to pretend that we know everything and that we don't make mistakes, but to recognize and to admit our mistakes and to allow ourselves to be returned, so that we can know these qualities of Allah and receive, allow them to to wash our hearts, to cleanse our hearts, to open our hearts, and to allow us to be drawn closer to our beloved. So, Manny, I want to thank you very much for this beautiful gift again this evening.
Alhamdulillah, thank you.
Can't get enough of you and your teachings.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, thank you very much. I enjoy being with everyone and reflecting, and it helps me to go deeper. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, thank you. So I want to remind everyone again of Sabiha says, Amin. Many, many thanks to you, beloved Amani.
Thank you, sister.
I want to remind everyone about Abdulkader Davies. Will be Casey up at the top of the chat put a link to it's patheos.com/ and then a bunch of stuff after that. That's actually a blog post where we'll be hosting the call. There she put it again. Thank you, Casey. We'll be hosting that call with Abdulkader Davies tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, which is 10 a.m. Pacific time. In honor of our inauguration day tomorrow, of inaugurating the new president and all the that is coming along with that, and for all of the people who will be at those festivities and activities and in all of the various marches and protests that are going on in D.C. and around the country, we'll be having a time of prayer in the morning.
That will be open for anyone?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. He's going to... I'm sorry?
I can share the link with people then.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, share it far and wide. It's got all of the information right there on that blog post. There's nothing to sign up for, register for. It's just an opportunity for us to all come together and pray. And Abdulkader is an international peacemaker and mediator who has... done conflict resolution in 30 different countries. He's right now in the midst of a 3-week intensive on at the University of Maryland. He's teaching on multi-track diplomacy. What is it called? I'll tell you, I got it right here. Transforming violent conflict. And he's got people in this program right now from 10 different countries, professionals and graduate students from 10 different countries that come together for his programs. And he's traveled all over the world doing conflict resolution and been involved in some very high-level stuff with very high-level people, leaders. And he is also a teacher at our school. CD actually told him to come and to teach about conflict resolution in the family and in the communities, that this is where peace begins. So alhamdulillah, he teaches in our school as well. And he's got beautiful words of wisdom and a very eloquent way of speaking and helping us to open our hearts and to remind us of our path and how to have to walk in that way that, you know, we're not all about just peace and love and ignoring when things are unjust. As Amani said earlier today, we're in the world, but as CD says, in the world and not of the world. So how do we walk that? How do we be with that? How do we know when to act, when to do versus when to accept? And, you know, how do we walk that path? So he has always learned so much from him and spending time with him. So please join us and invite your friends. That is open to everyone. Everyone is welcome to share that link with on your social media sites, with your friends and your emails, your listservs, wherever you share information with people, and invite everyone to attend. And inshallah, we'll have a effective, we can hope, inshallah, if Allah wills, we'll have an effective prayer time tomorrow.
Ameen.
Alhamdulillah. So Manny, would you like to close us with the Fatiha?
All right. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. صدق الله العظيم.